Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
While the internet raged with competing theories over yesterday's eclipse, was it a direct sign of the world's imminent end? Was it a warning about some red heifers in the Holy Land? Was it something else? While all that idle chatter was going on, The View's Sonny Hostin came up with the obvious answer. The eclipse was caused by climate change.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like 100 years.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe... But I will say all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or
the
something
point.
Is really
or
going
is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
No.
It happens.
And the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God doesn't give you warning.
Well, hold on. Whoopi was actually being the voice of reason there until right at the very end when she said, God does not give you warning. He does. He gave a warning to Noah, for instance, with the ark. You know, he gave a warning to Lot about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. He gave a warning. He gives a warning through his prophets, you know, Jonah and Nineveh. He gives warnings. But other than that minor theological error, Whoopi Goldberg is the voice of reason on The View. That is a very sad thing to say about The View because her co-host, Sonny Hostin, doesn't know what a cicada is, got the story about the cicadas wrong, and then I guess more importantly, thought that earthquakes and an eclipse of the sun are caused by climate change. Because you drive your Hummer around, because you have a big Ford Raptor, the gas has made it all the way up past the atmosphere into outer space. It's coalesced and then pushed the moon off its course so that it will block the sun for like 4 minutes once every 700 years. If you thought that religious eschatology sounded crazy, you know, the heifers and the end of the world and the, if you thought that, well, just wait until you hear secular eschatology. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. Muslims are chanting death to America in Dearborn, Michigan. In the defense of the Muslims, they don't really sound all that different from American college leftists. So, you know, there's a lot of death to America to go around. I am here on a college campus at the University of Utah. We had a great event last night. My speech was called Transgenderism, America's Problem. You can catch it on the YAF YouTube channel. I do need to make a sort of an apology. There were a lot of people who showed up yesterday. There was apparently an underestimation of the size of the crowd that would be there. There were a lot of protesters, but I guess we all underestimated how many people were going to show up to the event. So we ended up having to turn away hundreds of people. Some people drove in from Missouri. Some people drove in from very great distances. So if you showed up and did not make it in and you were You were in good company, I guess. But very, very sorry for that. You can catch the speech on YouTube for now, and we will make sure at the next speeches that we will demand that the university give us a much larger room for that. We got some breaking news yesterday while I was flying in. I couldn't pay too much attention to it because I was busy writing my speech, which I always leave until the very last minute. But President Trump released his much anticipated, long-awaited platform on abortion. A lot of people were nervous about this, myself included, because Donald Trump is the most pro-life president of my lifetime. And yet, in recent weeks, he has insinuated that he was going to moderate his position. He seems to think that abortion has been a tough issue for Republicans in recent elections, that the Democrats have run successfully on it. And Trump points out that you got to win elections if you want to accomplish anything in politics. So many people were afraid that Trump would call for a federal minimum number of weeks until which point you could get an abortion, or that he would call for, I don't know, some other kind of federal policy. Here is what we got. It's a little bit of a lengthy statement, but it's very, very important. It's attracted a ton of criticism. Even the pro-life movement is divided over how to react. Even some of my friends and I are divided over how to react. So, enough of my words. President Trump, take it away.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that?
So, I get it. I get why, as a pragmatic political matter, it is probably politically suicidal for Republicans to come out strongly against IVF right now, make it a top issue on the campaign. And I'm not suggesting anyone do that. But I think President Trump is receiving bad advice here when it comes to doubling down, making the Republican Party the party of IVF. The fact is, the surrogacy industry, the whole IVF thing, it seems really nice. The people who engage in it have the very best of intentions, usually. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. This is a bioethically indefensible program. It's a very novel issue. And so a lot of people haven't thought through it. I give them a lot of grace for it. And I'm not saying we need to run on the issue in 2024. But I think it is ill-advised to make the Republican Party the party of surrogacy. Because what surrogacy does is turn human beings into commodities to be bought and sold. What surrogacy does is establish as a premise that people have a right to a child, but you can't have a right to another human being because human beings are not objects. They're proper subjects with rights themselves. What the surrogacy industry does is further entrench disordered structures of the family. We saw that video last week. It was the most horrifying video I've ever seen of a little girl, a four-year-old girl, FaceTiming her mother, also known as the egg donor, once a year on her birthday. And the mother says, oh, happy fourth birthday. So nice to FaceTime you once a year. And then the two homosexual men who purchased this child like a product, they kind of giggle about it. And at the very end, the girl says, I love you, mommy. I love you, mom. What was that, girl? What'd you say? I love you, mommy. But the mommy doesn't love her. The mommy sold her like chattel. The mommy sold her like a slave, like a product, to two homosexual men who maybe have the very best of intentions. I think probably a lot of them do. But it is an intrinsically wrong and evil thing to intentionally create a child with the purpose of depriving that child of her mother or of her father. These are some of the most important basic relationships in life. So the surrogacy industry, what that does is with the current legal regime of defining the family and marriage into nothing, it further incentivizes single women, single men maybe, two men, two women, three women and a billy goat, whatever, to just purchase a child in a way that violates the legitimate rights of that child. It's just very, very wrong. I I've articulated my view on this enough. Pragmatically, I understand why the GOP is not going to run on it right now, because it's going to take a little while for people to process this very novel idea and to come to understand why it is that, you know, your brother who did IVF, or you know, your lesbian cousins who purchased a kid through surrogacy, why what they're doing is not right, even though you love your family members and they, you know, you want to extend them grace and they probably have the best of intentions. It's going to take a while. Okay. All that said, the GOP does not right now need to become the party of surrogacy. This, I think, was a miss for President Trump. The broader point I get, and he's probably politically right, but how about we just downplay it? How about we just take it slow? Anyway, keep going.
Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what.
Just one quick point here. When President Trump says the Republican Party is going to be on the side of mothers and fathers, yes, that's a great point. And President Trump is totally right about that. The problem with the surrogacy industry is it's not on the side of mothers and fathers. Sometimes it's on the side of fathers, but no mothers. You're going to steal the child away from his mother. Or they're on the side of mothers, but no fathers. You're going to deprive that child of a father. We want to be on the side of mothers and fathers in marriage, which is the building block of society. There is so much more to say. First, though, go to goodranchers.com, use code Knowles. Are you tired of your favorite cut of beef or chicken costing more but weighing less every time you buy it from the store? Well, Good Ranchers has a sizzling solution for you with their price lock guarantee. I don't understand how they do this. During their April price shield campaign, Good Ranchers is not just offering a temporary fix, but a long-term solution. Subscribe to one of their boxes and they will lock in your price until 2026. We have massive inflation everywhere, and Good Ranchers is giving you the best meat that you're going to get at a lower price than you're going to get from anyone else, and they're going to lock in that price during massive Bidenflation. I don't get it. I'm glad they're not their CFO, but I'm very glad that I'm one of their customers. Their meat is just absolutely out of this world. I love it. Just got another great order in and can't wait to get back from Utah so I get to go eat more. Right now, when you go to goodranchers.com, use promo code Knowles, you'll get their exclusive price shield and an additional 10% off your order. This offer ends at the end of the month, so if you want to secure your best price on meat until 2026, go to goodranchers.com, use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, goodranchers.com, promo code Knowles today. Okay, President Trump, what is the abortion policy?
What my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is, the baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people,
put
for
a pause
having
here.
The...
So do you notice President Trump names the justices, all of them, including John Roberts, including kind of the squishy ones. He does this presumably not because of the issue of abortion, but because the election cases are going to come up to them. And they might well decide President Trump's political fate before the November elections. So he's like, listen, justices, some of whom I appointed, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, you're wonderful people. Love you, John Roberts. You're a great guy. Don't you destroy the Constitution by not letting me become the president again. Don't you let the Democrats steal this election from me, you guys. So I really like that tactically. That's wise. What's the argument that he's making here on abortion? He's saying it goes back to the states. And the states are going to make their own laws. And some are going to tolerate abortion. Some are not. Some are going to tolerate it to a greater degree. Some to a lesser degree. He's getting a lot of criticism for this from people on the right and from some portions of the pro-life movement. Let me ask you a question. Which Republican president or presidential candidate, let me go further, which actual prominent Republican politician ever in American history has had a more pro-life position than President Trump? None. Which Republican president or presidential candidate or politician has done more to advance the pro-life cause than President Trump? None of them ever. This guy has been and is currently the most pro-life prominent Republican politician ever. I won't even say just of my lifetime. Ever. So people are knocking him. But since abortion became a political issue, and it only really became a political issue about 50 years ago, a little more than 50 years ago, this guy is as right-wing as they get. What's the is the problem that Trump says states get to make their own rules? That is unfortunate because a baby in New Jersey has the same worth as a baby in Tennessee, and it is just as wrong to murder a baby in New Jersey as it is to murder a baby in Tennessee. Yeah, we all agree on that. But what are we trying to do here? It is the purpose here for a Republican presidential candidate to articulate an unprecedentedly pure, philosophically precise point of view that will almost certainly lose him the election? Or is the point to move the ball down the field, save more babies, allow a culture of life to grow and advance as it has grown and advanced for 50 years with major steps taken by that guy himself? What is it? I don't know. My goal here is not to get a really nice soundbite that we can all feel really good about before losing an election. If President Trump were sincerely compromising with evil here, if President Trump said, I support a 10-week abortion limit at the federal level, so we're going to guarantee you the right to kill your babies up until 10 weeks at the federal level. Well, that would be moving the culture in a more pro-abortion direction. That would be completely unacceptable. I would strongly criticize President Trump for that. That's not what he's doing. To me, the question for pro-life activism is always about the direction. Are we moving more pro-life or are we moving more pro-abortion? There is no doubt. Every Republican president, I said, well, you know, we need to leave it to the states. That was the argument, even in the Dobbs decision. Do I prefer stronger arguments that recognize that babies have a right to life? I do, but those are not even close to being implemented. Those are not even close to the political mainstream. So what's the direction here? President Trump's abortion policy is moving more in a pro-life direction, not more in a pro-abortion direction. That's not good enough? From the guy who got Roe overturned? Give me a break. Keep going.
For having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
Okay, I like the reference here to President Reagan. Sometimes Reagan is invoked a little bit too frequently and too much. We should let the guy, you know, rest in peace. But here it's important because the pro-life movement loves Ronald Reagan. The pro-life movement rallied around Mitt Romney, and the pro-life movement rallied around John McCain, for that matter. And the pro-life movement rallied around all these Republican politicians. And then Trump, who is at least as pro-life as all those guys, and is in fact much more pro-life in practice, in effect, than all those guys. Now all of a sudden we're saying, well, you know, he calls for exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. First of all, it's not as though President Trump is expressing that in principle, babies conceived as a result of rape or any other tragic circumstance don't deserve to live or we should go around murdering them. He's not saying that. He's just saying, I recognize that the chief political virtue is prudence, and I am going to adopt the most pro-life position that I possibly can without almost guaranteeing that I would get blown out of the water in the elections. Reminds me of a line from Cocaine Mitch. And whether you like Mitch McConnell, whether you hate Mitch McConnell, one thing you got to say is Mitch McConnell knows how to be effective in Washington, D.C. Mitch McConnell knows how to get elected. He knows how to amass power. He knows how to wield power. And Cocaine Mitch made a great point, which is true in all politics, and that is the winners go to Washington and the losers go home. This is not even a, we say we don't want to compromise with evil. As far as I can tell, this isn't even a compromise with evil. This is just accepting where the culture is, moving as far in the pro-life direction as possible, and then leaving open the possibility of pushing it further. Do I hope and pray and work for a day when the culture is much more pro-life than this? Absolutely. But do I hope and pray for a day when New York restricts and one hopes even just outlaws abortion? Absolutely. We're not there yet, and I would much rather be part of the solution to bring us there than, you know, someone throwing peanuts from the corner. There's so much more to say. First, though, text Knowles to 989898. The cost of living has already increased 17% this year and continues to rise despite interest rate controls. As our national debt continues to skyrocket, you need to be confident in the financial services companies you work with, especially regarding your money and future. Birch Gold is a proven industry leader that you want on your side. They demonstrate how precious metal investments can fortify your lifestyle and retirement, even in turbulent economic times. Birch Gold understands that navigating financial decisions can be daunting. That is why their expertise, coupled with their customer care process, ensures that your purchase or IRA setup is a breeze. If you are considering converting an existing retirement account into a precious metals IRA, their dedicated in-house IRA department is there to guide you every step of the way, making the process feel as simple as a walk in the park. Birch Gold values your questions and concerns. Their team is always available to provide answers and clarity, whether it's about fees, taxes on rollovers, or the timing of the process. They are here to ensure you feel heard and informed. Text Knowles, Canada WLES, to 989898 to talk to one of Birch Gold's experts and claim your free info kit on gold. You will learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. The best part is it does not cost you a penny out of pocket. Just text Knowles, Canada WLES, to 989898. That is Knowles to 989898. My favorite comment yesterday is from Judd Zimmerman 328, who says, I hope you all got your eclipse vaccine. I got my fourth this morning. That's smart. Because otherwise, who knows? If the world ends, you don't want to be caught without your booster. You know, that would be very bad. You got to slow the spread of the end of the world. Speaking of the eclipse, President Trump, then I'll move off Trump, but there's a great post. After his actually significant and important statement regarding abortion and life issues, President Trump also posted on his social media platform, Truth Social, about the eclipse. And I think it's really important that we take it all in. Now, for those of you just listening right now, I'll describe it to you. It's the sun. It says the most important moment is zooming out on the sun here. The most important moment in human history. All sorts of people staring up. They've got their goggles on. The most important moment in human history is taking place in 2024. And then you start to see, is that the moon that's moving in front of the sun? People applauding. The U.S. Navy. Okay. Well, hold on. Wait. That's not the moon. That's a giant silhouette of Donald Trump's head, frowning, brows furrowed. He's got his hair straight down. We will save America. Native Americans in there, presumably. All these different people who certainly did not consent. Maybe they did. I don't know. We'll make it great again. There it is. And just as Trump 2024. How do you not love the guy? How do you not find this guy so funny and endearing? I don't know. I don't know how you cannot. People are going to say, Donald Trump, what a narcissist, what an egotist. He's saying it's his election, his second election is the most important event ever. Donald Trump, he's all about Trump. No, this is self-effacing. This is kind of funny. He even used a silly picture of his face. He didn't use a silhouette of his face that looks really, you know, handsome. And he used like the most silly caricature picture of his face. He just pulls it up there. And it's funny. This kind of thing resonates. This guy is larger than life. He is the size of an eclipse in politics. Love him or hate him. That is.
Go to preborn.com/Knowles. I am here today because exactly 34 years ago, almost to the minute, my mother chose life. I guess she would have chosen life in the months prior too. But anyway, that's when I was born. You are here today because your mother chose life. The miracle of life is a gift that everyone deserves because every life is precious. That is why this show has partnered with Preborn's network of clinics.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
These ultrasounds are more than just a medical procedure. They're a gateway to a mother's heart. The moment she hears her baby's heartbeat, the odds of her choosing life double. One ultrasound costs only $28, but any amount will help. All gifts are tax deductible, and 100% of your donation will save babies. To donate securely, dial #250, say the keyword baby. That is #250, say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Knowles, KNWLES. That is preborn.com/Knowles, KNWLES. I really support this organization. Please donate as generously as you can. preborn.com/Knowles.
A fact. Speaking of, now, we're turning back, I suppose, to weird sex stuff. There was a great statement put out by the Vatican yesterday. There were some theological complexities, and some people are making some theological criticisms of the statement, and one certainly could do that. But for the purposes of practical politics, applied morals, this was a very good statement that came out of the Vatican. And this was called Dignitas Infinitas, I think, infinite dignity. This statement describes the Pope's view on transgenderism, on surrogacy, on all these life and weird sex issues. And this Pope, Pope Francis, has received lots of applause from the liberal corners of the world. And sometimes the Vatican seeks to explain this away, and they say, oh, the Papa Francesco was misinterpreted, you know. That's not exactly what the Papa said. But sometimes it does kind of seem like what he said, and it's somewhat ambiguous. His pontificate has sometimes been compared to Peronism in Latin America, Peronism being this kind of, you know, appealing to everybody, vacillating from one extreme to another political mode. Though, you know, in the history of the church, I don't think that political ideologies and tactics really apply to the church. They don't map on one-to-one because the church measures her life not in days and weeks and years, but in centuries. So here, the Pope is not saying anything really that should be novel or shocking, but it is shocking to the lips. He came out and he reaffirmed his view that trans ideology is an extremely dangerous instance of ideological colonization, a concession to the age-old temptation to make oneself God, entering into competition with the true God of love revealed to us in the gospel. It says that trans ideology is a denial of the foundational, most beautiful, most powerful, and greatest imaginable difference that exists between living beings, that is the difference between men and women. He warned that the trans ideology threatens the anthropological basis of the family. He goes even further. He says that biological sex and the sociocultural role of sex, meaning gender, can be distinguished, but not separated. So the libs will say, and I will agree with this, that sex and gender are not, in fact, the same thing. One is the way that we interpret sex through society, through roles and behaviors, and the other is the biological sex itself. And Pope Francis is saying, yeah, he's agreeing with every reasonable person on this. And he's saying, yes, of course these two things can be distinguished, but they can't be separated. That's the key. The libs, the trans people, they say, well, maybe I have the body of a man, but I'm going to have the sociocultural role of the woman. Pope Francis is saying, ain't going to work, not going to work. Finally, he concluded that all attempts to advance trans ideology are to be rejected. He went on, he said, surrogacy is, I don't have his exact words in front of me, but the upshot was that it's gravely evil, totally to be rejected, a commodification of human life, all the sort of things that I've been saying on it for a while. And that's no coincidence because we have the same view of it, which is the Catholic view, which is the traditional view, grounded in the basic fundamental premises that have animated our civilization for millennia. That's just a fact. And so great stuff from the Holy Father. Not that the supposedly Catholic president, Joe Biden, is going to pay attention to any of it. Or if he does pay attention, he'll immediately dismiss it, most likely. But in any case, good stuff here. Everybody, including the supposedly liberal pope, agrees trans ideology, very, very bad to be rejected. The surrogacy industry, the buying and selling of human beings, of little babies, absolutely evil to be rejected. Good stuff. Now, speaking of foreign affairs, turning from Rome now to the Muslim world, and then turning back to America, we have a lot of Muslims in Michigan, specifically in Dearborn, Michigan, and some of them are chanting death to America.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Means death to America. I don't speak Arabic, but that's the translation.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, we live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go.
We live in one of the rottenest places on earth. You know, his English is pretty good for a guy who hates America so much. He sounds fairly American. I don't know if this guy is an immigrant himself. He sounds more like second generation. He sounds more like a guy who was raised here and is maybe trying to prove his cultural bona fides. This is the problem with mass migration. It's not even really a problem specific to the Muslims. It's a broader problem when you flood the country with people who are not from here, who have totally different loyalties and longstanding feuds and antagonisms and cultural practices and religion and all the rest of it. When you just flood them into a new country and then you don't encourage them to assimilate, you actually discourage assimilation. Well, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get people who say, death to America, death to America. We're told that anyone can become an American. The moment you come here, you know, as long as you read a poem on the Statue of Liberty and you believe in freedom in the abstract, then you're an American. I don't believe that, obviously, but the liberals seem to think that. How is this guy an American? He chants death to America, or he at least addresses a political rally where death to America is being chanted. He says America is the rottenest country on earth. He says we need to stop focusing so much on Israel and just focus more on America, how terrible it is. He's got the flag of a different country behind him. He's believes in a religion that is not the religion that built up America. He so much so that he opposes America, in fact. How's he an American? What's American about him? The one thing that is really American about him is how much he hates America. Yes, that's the one thing. Because in this guy's defense, and in defense of the Muslims and even the pro-Palestine liberation people, he doesn't sound all that much different from a college leftist in America. And in fact, who does he quote? Is he quoting, you know, the Ayatollah? Is he quoting Saeed Qutb? Is he quoting Osama bin Laden? No, he's quoting Malcolm X. He's quoting a black power leader in America who also said all these terrible things, who was also sort of Muslim. He was kind of like the weird version of Muslim, not the Arab version of Muslim, but the like American black version of Muslim. But in any case, very unfortunate. And you might stem the problem by severely restricting immigration, which most Americans want to do. You might help to solve the problem by encouraging greater assimilation of the people who move here and splitting up some of the enclaves. So, you know, if 100,000 Muslims from wherever this guy's family's from move to America and they settle all throughout the country, that is going to encourage assimilation more than if they all settle in Dearborn, Michigan and have greater access to organizing their Death to America rallies, right? So you could do that. But none of these things are going to totally solve the problem. And you got to solve the Malcolm X problem, because you got to solve the radical American leftist problem. And the way you're going to solve that problem is by defining with limits what it means to be an American. If right now being an American is just whatever you want, man, it's kind of like the trams of patriotism. You know, if you say you're an American, you're an American. And I need to affirm your identity that you're, no, you're not. There's actually some limits. You got to act a certain way. You got to talk a certain way. You got to believe a certain way. You've got to have certain legal, on top of that, you need to have certain legal status. You need to be an American citizen. You need to be within certain borders. You need to eat hot dogs on the 4th of July. And you got to like fireworks and you got to watch the Yankees. Okay. To be an American means a thing that is not just floating in outer space. It is part of incarnate life that moves through time and space and history and has a not just an individual, but a community aspect. You got to have bonds, ties of friendship and kinship, one hopes, to other Americans. That's what you got to do. And until we do that, we are going to lose. The patriots and the conservatives are going to lose on this issue, just as we've lost on the trans issue. If we can't define what a man is, if we can't define what a woman is, if we can't define what a marriage is, if we can't define any of these things, then we're going to keep losing on the trans issue. And if you can't define what an American is, you're going to lose on that issue.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Now, speaking of swing states, turning from Michigan to Wisconsin, Wisconsin voters have just done something really, really great. They have banned the private funding of elections. Wisconsin voters approved an amendment. This was last week, actually, banning the private funding of elections. Now, you might say, wait a second. What do you mean private funding of elections? We fund our elections publicly. No, we don't, actually. In 2020, Mark Zuckerberg spent $400 million to kick Trump out of the White House. And the way he did it was not just by donating to Joe Biden. It wasn't even primarily by donating to Joe Biden. the way Mark Zuckerberg did it was privately funding the elections. And the way he did that was by funding leftist organizations that worked with the government to change the way the elections were conducted. In some cases, illegal. In some cases, putting ballot drop boxes too far away from the county clerk's office, for instance. But doing so in such a way that it gave a major advantage to the Democrats. And that's all because one guy, Mark Zuckerberg, hated Donald Trump so much that he was willing to sink almost $500 million into doing it in a very clever way. That should not happen. That is very, very wrong. So the amendment that the Wisconsin voters voted for directs that, quote, donations and grants may not be applied for, accepted, expended, or used in connection with the conduct of any primary election or referendum. Really, really great stuff. And it passed pretty clearly. Wasn't a total blowout, but it was 54.4% to 45.6%. This is not only a good rule for moving forward, this is also a recognition of an injustice that happened last time. So we hear now from the libs that the 2020 election was perfect. There's been no more perfect election ever conducted. Joe Biden won fair and square by 10 bazillion votes. And anyone who questions that is an evil, terrible insurrectionist, terrorist. And we all know that isn't true. We all know something was very, very fishy about the 2020 election. We can point to certain examples like the state of Pennsylvania violating its own state constitution to permit widespread mail-in ballots using COVID as an excuse. That's just one example. But it's not just Pennsylvania. And it's not just some of the irregularities in Georgia. Even in Wisconsin, we know that that stuff was up. And it's not just us saying it, it's the Wisconsin voters. They're saying, hey, Mark Zuckerberg rigged this election in an unjust way. And that's bad. And I'm not saying we can just push Trump into the White House now, would that it were so simple, but we are not going to let it happen again. 2020 was severely rigged. We're doing stuff to change it moving forward. And maybe given how terrible a job Joe Biden has done, given how many voters he has alienated, for goodness sakes, he's irritated the Muslims. He should have had a lock on that vote. He's banning menthol cigarettes as his black support was already declining dramatically. He's turning away young people because they hate his policy in Israel and the Gaza war. A lot of his core constituencies are falling away. Maybe, just maybe, Republicans really have a chance.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Tonight is the series premiere of Judged by Matt Walsh. This will be on Daily Wire Plus. Matt Walsh as a judge is exactly what you would imagine. It's even funnier, in fact, because the cases are real and his decisions actually are somehow legally binding. They did a lot of prep. I've known about this project for 6 months now, and I am very, very excited for it to come out. Take a look at some of what you can expect on this season of Judged by Matt Walsh.
All rise for the Honorable Judge Walsh. Please be seated. Ms. Goldstein. Mr. Bentley. Yeah. Mr. Outerbridge. Ms. Spicer.
Your Honor.
Mr. Barney.
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Singh.
Yeah. At 30,000 feet, my lips exploded.
Why would I pay rent to somebody who had sex with my sister?
A dog bit my finger.
He's allergic, like the grass.
If he didn't want me to drive the car, he would have took the key. I had it with him.
Has anyone told you you're the worst negotiator that's ever lived? I've never been more annoyed than I am in this moment. Not even close. That does it. Please get the hell out of my courtroom.
Wait until you see real petty court in action, where anything you say to Judge Walsh can and certainly will be used against you. Be the first to see Judged by Matt Walsh tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, Daily Wire Plus. If you don't have a Daily Wire Plus membership, get it now for 35% off with code JUDGED at checkout. Go to dailywire.com/judged. I actually don't know what the code is because they didn't put it in my teleprompter. So there's a very important case that is coming up through our legal system. And the case involves Morgan Wallen, who is a Nashville local, a country music star. I don't really know how to think about it. I'm no expert in the law. So I was very fortunate to be able to sit down with the Honorable Judge Matt Walsh to get his advanced legal opinion. Judge Walsh, thank you so much for taking a moment to condescend and come on to give your legal advice.
Of course. I can give you 5 minutes.
Okay. Your Honor, you know that...
Continue.
You know the details of this case. Morgan Wallen, a neighbor of mine, I guess, you know, a fellow Nashvillian, was at a rooftop bar in downtown, and he threw a chair off the roof. This landed in front of some cops. They went up and they arrested him. So in your legal opinion, was this sufficient cause to arrest the country singer? Will he be given a fair trial? And what should the sentence be?
I mean, certainly you've got, you have multiple charges here, all worthy of arrest. You know, first of all, what are you doing? Morgan Wallen lives in Nashville, doesn't he? He's actually a resident of Nashville,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you doing down on Broadway over the weekend? Everyone knows Broadway is for like white girls from New Jersey, not for actual residents of Nashville. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing on Broadway? What are you doing at a rooftop bar as, I think he's in his 30s now, as a 30-year-old man. And then, you know, you add those two charges on top of throwing the chair, which could have killed, you know, could have killed 10 people, depending on how closely they're packed together mm-hmm. and depending on how heavy the chair is, which we don't have that information. But I think it all adds up to a death sentence on multiple charges. So I would execute him. I would execute Morgan Wallen. He should be killed. That's my legal analysis.
You probably won't be trying the case, right? I don't think, will this be coming before your court or will this be coming before, you know, I don't know, I guess in maybe The Hague, given your legal interpretation?
No, I mean, I won't be trying the case. I don't, unfortunately, we don't get cases like that in my court, but I don't think it doesn't quite rise to the level of the sort of cases that we see in this courtroom. It's not quite at that. You know, level of importance.
So what are some of the cases that you adjudicate?
Well, listen, we have, you know, our premiere episode. We have two very important cases, and I don't want to get into any spoilers or anything like that, but I will say that one of the cases has to do with a woman and her lips exploding while she was on a plane. She was given injections into her lips, you know, the botulism, the Botox or whatever it is. I didn't really pay attention to that part, but she put something in her lips and then the lips exploded on a plane. So we have exploding lips. We have cases that have to deal with a woman who got her finger bit by a dog. And she actually had a cut. She had a laceration on her finger because a dog bit it. We have a case that's to do with a man who didn't want to cut the grass because he has an allergy to the grass. And there was a very intense dispute between him and his roommate about who would cut the grass. Because one doesn't want to, the other has an allergy. So these are the sorts of cases that we deal with, and you know the cases that you know so-called real courts wouldn't take, and they bring to me, and I give them the seriousness that they deserve. I think.
Judge, could you remind me where you went to law school?
It's not about that. You know, this is not what I found is that trying these cases. Doesn't have anything to do with education. You don't need to have read books. You don't have to be able to cite, you know, legal precedent. because I'm tapping into something deeper and more primal than that.
Do you think, Judge, that I know that the cases that you adjudicate are going to take the country by storm. Do you think there's a chance that you could receive a federal appointment in a second Trump term? And who knows, you know, if Thomas or Kagan retire, do you think you could make it to the Supreme Court?
Well, I would certainly hope so. What I will say is that obviously I'm pretty busy with the Judge Show. I'm pretty busy with the podcast and other projects, but I am willing to throw my hat into the ring and to say that I'd be willing to at least consider if I was brought up for an appointment to the Supreme Court. A federal court at a lower level than the Supreme Court, I would consider it. I wouldn't be insulted by the suggestion. I'll say that Supreme Court, I would probably accept that even with everything I've got going on. And as I think is well established now, I am now America's foremost and most preeminent legal expert. So I would expect, especially with Trump in the White House, that I would at least be considered for that role.
And while the Senate, you know, considers the potential Judge Walsh appointment, could you give them a little sense of your interpretive principle? You know, are you an originalist? Are you a textualist? Or do you take a more liberal or even classical approach to constitutional interpretation?
Yes.
Great. Your Honor, thank you so much. I don't want to take up any more of your time. I know that you're very, very busy. People can catch these important cases on Daily Wire Plus today.
They can. If today is Tuesday, then they absolutely can.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you so much.
DailyWire.com/subscribe to catch all those important cases when judged by Matt Walsh. Today is Trans Tuesday. I was hoping it would be Tee-Hee-Hee Tuesday, but we're on the road and we were talking about transgenderism last night and there were a lot of pride flags, like a zillion pride flags that the Utah people put up everywhere and in protest of my appearance here. So it seems fitting. We'll do a Trans Tuesday. The rest of the show continues now. You do not want to miss it. Head on over to dailywire.com. Use code Knowles at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.